Thank you, Lord. That's right. Praise the Lord. Don't hold it in. Praise. I love when they praise the Lord. When they praising the Lord, they got something to thank the Lord about. Sometimes people don't like all that praise. But I love to praise. While you praising him, God said, I'm not a respectable person. I bless them. I know I'm next on the line. And I love him praise the Lord. They don't have my stuff up. 2 Kings, chapter 3, 1 through 3. There it is. Yeah, God's way out of no way. We're going to look at that. Turn to 2 Kings 3. I'm trying to get all my words right. My wife don't like it when I mispronounce a word. So, now, Joram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria,
yes,
the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wore evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. And he put away the image of Baal that his father had made.
Well.
Neither lest he flee unto the sins that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, he depart not therefrom. You please be seated. And we're going to use God's way out of no way.
Well.
I know you sin. Reverend, I didn't see nothing like that in the first three. But let's read on down. Now, Meshach, verse 4. Now, Meshach, king of Moab, was a sheep master and rented unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with wool. That would be $1 million in today's time. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And the king Joram went out of Samaria at the same time and number of Israel. And he went to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab had rebelled against me. Will thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as my people, and my horses as your horses. And he said, which way should we go? He answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. The king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days journey. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed him. And we're going to use for a subject, God's way out of no way. Now I'm going to pray that the preacher come. I prepared myself, had this done 2 weeks ago. But the preacher had to come to preach to his people. So I'm following the Holy Ghost. Because I have no heaven or hell to put you in. If I did, I'd put all Easton's first. But you know, you all supposed to laugh. And I thank you, Father God, Lord, the Holy Spirit, let me decrease in the flesh and increase in the spirit to talk to your people, to say something that keep people on the road. Too many, Lord, of your people falling by the wayside. and that troubled today's society. So, Lord, let me say something today in case somebody on the middle of the road. Use me as an instrument. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Too many, before I get to my sermon, too many Christians are falling by the wayside. Remember that sermon that Reverend Allen preached? It came on the news. It said by year 2029 or 2030, we only gonna have 10 million Christians. I said, woo, 10 million of all the people in the world. We've fallen. And that was a good sermon. We're falling day by day. And we should be the people influencing them, but our light don't shine anymore because of our action. There's no difference between a Christian believer and an unsaved person. There's no difference. I watch them at the bus stop. I watch them at the grocery stores. And I watch myself, too. You do something, step on somebody's toe, or you jump in front of somebody, the same words that come out of an unbeliever is the same words we say. There's no difference. I want to get that in. Well, we see, I'll be in 2 Kings. I'm a preacher that preached straight from the Bible. You stay in 2 Kings 3, and you will be with me. Now, Joram, at me, my way, king of Israel, as the 10 tribes. We know that the 12 tribes broke up under David's son, Rabboni. It broke up in two parts. 10 tribes of Israel, the southern tribe, Judah and Benjamin, took on Judah's name. And so Joseph said he was the king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. Mishael, the king of Moab, he paid the king of Israel 100,000 lamb and 100,000 ram a year. When King Ahab died, King of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So Ahab died. So this king sees his son coming in, and he said, I'm tired of giving you all my lambs and rams. I'm giving you $1 million worth of resources, and so you won't attack us. I'm tired of doing it. So the king of Israel asked the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat means God's way. Joram means my way or the highway. He's just like his daddy. You going to do it my way or the highway? Or I kick you. Because nobody doing nothing about it. He's the king. Yeah. But Joseph said the first point, he agreed with him. You see, believers, we cannot, let me put this in a way that everybody can understand. Believers got to be careful for what we say to unbelievers. We just can't just get running our mouths off. Joseph said, God's way agree with my way. And he should have prayed on it. Because believers talk to one another, and the Holy Spirit tells us, Holy Spirit in me and the Holy Spirit in you, I come to you with my problems, and the Holy Spirit talks to you to tell me how to solve my problems. But when you talk to an unbeliever, there is no Holy Spirit. So he grieved too fast for him. I learned this lesson in 1996. I was in the factory working. They hired a little young girl. She's a lady. She was a new hire. And she was happy that she got a job. And she went to church. She went to the Baptist church in Mammysburg. And she was always talking about the church and her husband. And her husband was an engineer. But somehow, the merger company didn't hire him. And she break with a pack of ladies, unbelievers now. They asked her, "How are your husband doing?" "Well, my husband, he dropped me off from work now." So this pack of black and white ladies said, "What? You buying a car? He dropped you off from work? You know what he's doing, baby." And I said, "Oh," she wasn't talking to me. And she said, "You know he running around on you. On you now." That kind of bothers me. And I said, "When I get a chance, I'm going to approach her." So they form a new line. And the old job setters, they asked for me, because they like to show off in front of the foreman and the general foreman. Because they come out there and they did me like that. That means you go to work. When I do like that, the old job setter said, "James, hit it." And I run up there and hit it. And sometimes on Saturdays, they run extra parts. We're supposed to run 10,000 parts. They run extra parts, and I don't say nothing. They said, I went to cut out and said, "Hey, don't touch the machine. I'm in charge." So I said, "Hey, so it didn't bother me." They always ask for me, because they're always doing something they shouldn't do. And I never did complain. And this young lady, she always talk about her and her family to these bunch of old ladies. They were, I call them old. They was older than them, because I was 44 then. They was in their 60s. And I told you when I was in 40, I was a heathen, didn't I? I told you I was a heathen back when I was 44. I was skinny then. I was skinny and I was a heathen. And I got her in the brick area by herself. And I said, "My name is Rev." She said, "I know you, Rev. You drive a green Cadillac, you go to work nice, you dress nice. Everybody know you." So I said, "Oh." And then she said, "What you want?" So by that time, her buddies came around the corner. And they said, "Connie, come here, Connie. I don't want you to talk to Reb. I don't want to hear his ass." That's what they said, right there in front of me. So I moved to another little area. I moved from further. I didn't sit with them. I moved two tables down. And they said, "I don't want to hear his ass." And then they said, "Connie, what did Reb ask you?" Just like that. "What did he ask you? Did he ask you to meet him someplace secret?" She said, "No." "Well, what did he ask you?" And she told them. I said, "When you're a new hire, when you come to work, don't tell people what go on in your house." especially them ladies over there where you work with, the old and they divorcees and they man-haters. Man, she went back and told them. She said, so they said, what the Red want? She said, nothing. And then when she finally told them, all them F words came out of their mouth. They got to slamming things. Oh, man. I never heard. And this lady jumped up. Ah, you a preacher. That ain't nothing. All you ain't. What she said? She said, we not nothing. She said something. She called us. She's talking to me now. I don't want you taking out of context now. I ain't said nothing to nobody. She called me. She called me a big W. You know what that is. You just a blank. And I got angry. And I walked to the door there. But my fingers got to jumping. My fingers got to jumping. And lady, she jumped up and said, what you mean by that? And you know, my fingers got to jumping. So I took off running. Because I knew what was next coming, what was next. They were just so grouchy. They were just grouchy and telling that young girl, you know, she keep listening that she gonna break up her marriage. And so I told her that. And end of the day, the foreman told me, well, James, you're gonna be transferring out to the North Plant. And he said, when you go to the North Plant, just keep your head down and do your work like you're supposed to work. Because they got a whole lot of young people out there, and they won't come to work. See, the job said it like me for some reason. And he said, I wish I can go with you, but I can't. But you do what I tell you. Keep your head down and do your work. And don't be out there all that cussing and hollering, because you got 90 days, and they can't fire you for some reason. So I went to the North Plant. 3 years later, I heard somebody say, Rev. I turned around. It was her. It was that little young white lady. She had red hair, but I didn't know her because her face changed. And I said, do I know you? She said, yes, you know me. And I said, where? She said, 1996, you told me to go and get pastoral counsel with my husband and quit sitting with them old ladies. I said, yeah, I remember. She said, boy, I know you glad when you got transferred, because they was going to do something to you. They was angry. They was real angry. They going to do something to you, and I just laughed. You know, I laughed, and I kept eating my food. So the point is, believers got to be careful when you talk to non-believers. See, when you have trouble with your husband, having trouble with your children, don't run to them non-believers telling them the troubles you having in your house. Because when you talk to another believer, they're going to say, give it time. Don't leave your husband. Give your child over to God, like I gave mine over to God. But them non-believers said, woo, I would leave him. I would just leave him. I wouldn't help my son for nothing, or my daughter for nothing. They don't listen to me. So be careful. That's point one. Point two, Joram asked Jehoshaphat, my way, asked God's way, which way we should go. And Jehoshaphat said, well, we're going to go through the desert. and the desert is a 3 days journey. And the journey that time was 20 miles. So it's a 3 days journey. We're going to cross the desert in 60 days. And, you know, 3 days journey, 20 miles. And they, for some reason, it took them 7 days to cross the desert. 7 days. And they run out of water. And when they run out of water, they start blaming themselves. So my way told Joseph, God's way, all this is your fault because I listened to you. And our argument came up. And Joseph said, since he was a godly man, he said, let's calm down. He said, let's calm down before we get to war, because his men was upset. And Joram, his men were standing up. And they got to arguing fiercely. And Joseph said, when I have a problem, I go to the man of God, to my problem. And the man of God is just a day's journey, 20 miles away. And Joram said, well, let's go. He said, I went to the man of God. And the man of God refused to help Joram. Now that kind of bothered me. Why would he refuse to go to your pastor for help, and he's in there make you feel worse than you went in office? That bothers me. He said, Joseph, Joram, my way, went down there, knocked on the door, Elijah shook. Elijah was his mentor. Elijah shook, didn't even come to the door. And Joram got angry. And Joram went back to the camp where Joseph at. Then I said, what makes Elisha won't come out and help his cousins? They was cousins. And he said, and Joram won't come out and help him. And I went back and dug it out. You got to go back to 1 Kings 12. And talk about his father, Ahab. Ahab was a bad king. Ahab, first king of Israel for 22 years. Ahab was a secretly evil king in sight of God. He followed King Jeroboam, which made the nation of Israel worship a golden calf in Bethel. When Jeroboam took over, he didn't want the children of Israel to go to Jerusalem. So he said, I'm going to make a golden calf. People in my area got to go down to Dan in Bethel and worship a golden calf. King Jeroboam changed things. He established a new priesthood, and the Levi tribes were going to be the priesthood. But he established a new priesthood. And King Ahab married a younger lady. She was a beautiful lady. And her name was Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, Ahab was an older man. And you know how them older men get them young women. And she was his trophy. He had her as a trophy. But she reigned over the king of Israel. She said, my word She said, as far as I can see, we're going to worship Baal. And she didn't supposed to, they didn't supposed to worship Baal. She said, we're going to build some temples, altars. We're going to put some little false gods, some wood image, and we're all going to worship Baal. And Ahab went along with it. She even told Elijah, the man of God, y'all remember that sermon that they often preach a lot, caught between two opinions? Her prophets were 430, and he was by himself. And they said, we're going to worship the God that brings fire from heaven. Nobody say amen? Y'all don't remember that? Amen. Shake your head, church. Amen. Shake your head. Shake your head. And so, Elijah brought fire from heaven first, and he killed 430 prophets. The word got back to Jezebel. She said, tell him this time tomorrow, I'm living, I'm going to kill him. Elijah took off. In 2 days, he runs 500 miles. The supernatural come on him. He was that scared. That's in the Bible. He runs 500 miles. He feared Jezebel because her husband, one time he won another man's crops. He looked out the window and said, oh, his crops are bigger than my crops. And he started whining. She came home and said, what you whining about, baby? And he said, the other man's crops look better than my crops. It's in the Bible. And so she said, well, I can settle that. She changed the paper, put a stamp on him, and they went over there and killed the man. They killed the man over some crops. So she was a pretty and notorious woman. And she believed, now, you all might be sneaking, but she was dedicated to her God. Now, that's what I look at. We say we Christians, but we can't influence nobody. Why would she influence the whole nation? Why would she influence the whole nation? Because what? She was dedicated. She was always out there preaching and teaching about her God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Out there in the woods, walking half naked and worshiping God. Yes, yes. We have the Holy Ghost and we cannot act better than her. Why? What's wrong? You see, people saw something different. You were not like the other believers. You got to come on out. Oh, but we listen to unbelievers and they lead us. But you got to come on out. Let me get to point three. Point three. Elijah shook, told Joram, by the way, no. He went back to camp. Josaphat said, I'm going to go and talk to Elisha. His mentor was Elijah. And he went down there, and Josaphat said, he came to the door, and Josaphat said, I'm going to have a worship service. He said, I brought all my musicians, a different instrument. We're going to sit down, and we're going to worship God half of the day. And so the Holy Ghost got in to Elisha, and Elisha preached. And he said, I know what you're here for. You're going to defeat your enemy. but I'm telling you how to defeat it. Go on the north side of the desert and dig holes. Tell all the armies and men with you, go on the north side of the desert and dig holes. Now, God's way does not make sense to us. When God, see, God's way doesn't make sense to us. God tells us to do something, and we don't do it His way. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thought is high from the sky to the earth. Now, then it make go in the desert towards the north side and dig holes. Would you really do that? I'm asking you all, will you really do it?
No.
That's right. Somebody was bold enough to say no. I wouldn't say it now. I would say it now. Elisha, that doesn't make no sense. Go back to God. And I would have died of thirst, wouldn't I?
Yes,
I would die of thirst. So they went back to the nine of three armies, and they dug holes in the desert on the north side. The next morning, the water flowed. All the holes was overflowing with water, and the water flowed north. It flowed north so much, when it got to the Moab Valley, it looked like red. The water turned to red. When the water turned to red, the king, Meshach, king of Moab, said, oh, all three nations, they fighting against themselves. Let us go now and attack them. They went down there and attacked them and run into a surprise attack. They already lined them up. You see, the man of God made a way out of no way. 7 day journey in the desert, out of water, didn't know what to do. But God, you see, but God always make a way for His people. Is there anything possible that He can't do? Let's go back to the beginning, verse 1. Verse 1, it said, in the beginning, and the Holy Spirit moved on the water. God walked out there in darkness. He looked to the north. He looked to the south. He looked to the west. He looked to the east. Then He said, I'm God all by myself. Let there be light. And it was light. In other words, He said, I am that I am. I don't need no counselor. I'm omniscient. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. All power is in me. So when you have troubles, don't go to the unsaved. Find you a believer and listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, too many of us, why are we that the unsaved lead us? Unsaved ain't leading us. Look around. Look around. You see? Look around. Look at your church. Why can't you draw nobody? I know why you can't draw nobody. I couldn't draw nobody years ago. Because what? I was a heathen. If I can do anything over, I would do my work experience over. I wouldn't act the same way I used to act. I wouldn't cuss people and try to fight people when they got on my nerves. We got to make a difference, y'all. The sermon has been preached to you all. Reverend Allen said in a certain year, 10 million people going to be Christians out of 50 or 100 million people, only 10 million going to be Christians? How many would Tabernacle stand? Will you be here, Tabernacle? You got to look at that. Stand. Now, we got a good chance to build, and to stick together, get on one accord.
Yes, sir.
We need to be on one accord. Past is the past.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let us get on one accord and quit listening to unbelievers. Quit calling your friends that don't believe in God. You got trouble with your husband, find you a believer. Find you a woman in church, a believer, and hold your hands and say, sister, we're going to pray on it. I see two ladies having trouble. I got big ears. She was having trouble with her son. So she telling this believer, the old lady said, give me your hand. And they pray. Woo, that power come from that older lady.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Boy, I can feel that power. She said, 3 days, call me. I don't know what happened in 3 days, but I felt the power.
Yes, sir.
You see? We got to cleave to each other and get on one accord. And remember, I serve a God that can do the impossible. He always make a way out of no way. Woo! In 1983, they laid me off. I didn't lose my house. I didn't lose my wife. I didn't lose my car. In 1979, they laid me off 4 years. I didn't lose anything. Why? Because what? Me and my wife got on our knees, and we prayed to God. I'm telling you, take your promise to the Lord, and he will make a way out of a new way. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you very much.